We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. The full promise of stem cell research remains unknown, and it's about letting scientists do their jobs, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
If someone would disagree with the church on abortion, I don't see how they can call themselves a Catholic. And the vanity or hurt feelings of an individual Catholic governor or senator or even vice president do not take priority over the faith of the believing community.
Christian film is bad film for the same reason that pornography is bad. It's made on low budgets. There's nobody in it with much talent. We all know how the story's going to turn out.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, by far the most email that we've gotten this week, speaking of listener email, is about our segment that we did early in the week on Rush Limbaugh. I think it was Monday we did a little program on Rush Limbaugh's worldview. Is it Christian or not? We're going to be reading some of that email here during listener email this Friday afternoon, March the 27th on Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in here at the end of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or you can email us right here in the studio, as so many do, talkback@issuesetc.org. We cannot respond personally to all the email we get. The volume is just too great, but we do try to respond on the air to some of it every Friday. That's what we'll do here for the first half hour. Then we'll tell you which blog posts this week are our picks for Issues Etc. blog of the week. We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. If you didn't hear that segment on Rush Limbaugh's Worldview, one of the soundbites deals with it. I think it's soundbite number one, if I'm not mistaken. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org, and right there under the on-demand page, you'll find those four soundbites to listen to in advance and vote. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or if you wait about a half hour, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, and vote for Soundbite of the Week. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us from the Ruth Institute. Three issues to discuss with her. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will receive Planned Parenthood's highest award tonight. No surprise there. President Barack Obama is giving the commencement speech at Notre Dame University. There's some controversy surrounding that invitation. And we'll talk about whether or not privatizing marriage, taking marriage out of the state's hands, is the answer to the gay marriage dilemma. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. And then we're going to conclude our five-part daily series with Ken Samples on worldviews. We've saved one of the biggest and most consequential till last. Islam, not only as a religion, but also as a worldview, in about an hour and a half here on Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. What's up first, Jeff?
Well, the most email this week, obviously the program we did on Rush Limbaugh's worldview. Here's Mike from Rockford, Illinois. He said, I had a thought about yesterday's segment on Rush. I don't believe that Rush is quite the libertarian Pollyanna that your guest tried to paint him. I think that Rush's view of what motivates people is not libertarian altruism, but more in line with Adam Smith's view of people pursuing their own economic self-interest will have positive effects on their neighbor. I think this economic component is important because it gives a realistic motivation for what we do. Instead of the view that people are mostly good and want to help others just to be nice, we have the view that I want to make more money, start a new business, expand my business, and I don't want to get in trouble or lose money, sell bad peanut butter or defective cars, treat customers in a dishonest way. This component adds greed into the mix, which is an important distinction. The bottom line is that we are first and foremost sinners in need of Christ and not so much citizens in need of a particular type of government. Keep up the good work, writes Mike in Rockford, Illinois.
Well, Mike, thank you very much. We didn't mention Adam Smith, but one philosopher we did mention was Ayn Rand. And the Ayn Rand brand of conservatism, largely due to people not reading Ayn Rand for who she really was and what she was really saying, that objectivist philosophy that if you look at it is as bleak as anything any communist ever wrote. But of course, she has this view that man can pursue his own interests, whatever they may be, altruistic or otherwise. And that if everyone pursues their own individual interests, then everyone benefits. And it ignores, and I see overtones of this in Rush Limbaugh's worldview, but it does ignore the fundamental fact that people tend to do not only what's in their own interest, but they tend to do it over against the best interest of their neighbors. And it's hardly a Christian worldview. Thank you very much for the email.
Let's take one more on Rush, the Rush Limbaugh program we did. Don in Ashtabula, Ohio writes, I just listened to the interview and discussion on Rush Limbaugh. I don't think Rush has a Christian worldview, but rather an American civil liberty worldview. They are not the same. Most of the time that Rush speaks of God, it is as creator, provider, omniscient being, not the triune God we worship. As a matter of fact, it is more like a small g God rather than the one God. It is the same God of In God We Trust. If the dollar bill is read by a Christian, Jew, Muslim, or pantheist, it can invoke thoughts of their own deity. I believe Rush believes in the same God Thomas Jefferson did, one who created and endowed humans with reason, but not one who performed miracles or rose from the dead. I am currently on jury duty and experienced and witnessed the American civil religion ceremony of swearing to tell the truth with the help of God. When I said the oath, I had a very specific God in mind, but my Jewish jury mate thought of a different God, and my non-believing partners, well, who knows what God they were referring to. Rush holds libertarian views of government, and I believe that is why he gives short shrift to conservative moral concerns. He does what he does well, but he is not a spokesman for Christians, social conservatives, or for that matter, Republicans. He shines light on issues that concern him and promotes those views vociferously. But little that I hear suggests that he has a Christian worldview. Keep up the great work, Don in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Well, Don, thank you very much. What kind of God Rush Limbaugh believes in is not really the question we were attempting to ask. In fact, it's one that we had no interest in asking or answering. We don't know what kind of God Rush Limbaugh believes in. But what kind of a worldview does he hold? And I guess it's relevant what kind of a God fits into that worldview. But look, the God of American civil religion is a God put to the service of the state. This is why there's no problem with you swearing to the Christian God in your own mind when you take an oath to tell the truth, and the Jewish man next to you swearing to his God, and the Muslim swearing to his, and the Buddhist swearing to his, because that God, whatever that God is of the oath, is not any of those gods. It is the God of American civil religion, God put to service of the state. And the state's interests are only that you tell the truth, not what God you make your oath to. And as long as it's going to get you to tell the truth, they don't care what God you believe in, hope in, or make your oath to, or any God for that matter. It's a way of them having a reasonable certainty that they can secure from you the truth. And by the way, they back it up. They don't lie. The state does not allow all of its eggs to be put into the God basket. You can go ahead and swear that you're going to tell the truth to your God, but if you don't tell the truth, they still have laws that will put you in prison, just in case God doesn't get you. So, you know, I don't know what Rush Limbaugh believes in as a God, but his worldview is out of line with that would be informed by a fully Christian way of thinking.
Ken in Orlando, Florida writes, Dr. Alvin Schmidt's insights on Christian architecture were excellent. The builders of the great cathedrals knew that style isn't neutral and designed those spaces to draw people's attention up towards heaven, then down the nave toward the altar crucifix. Good church architecture can be like the historic liturgy. It protects the congregation from Christless preaching and teaching by its design, which constantly brings the congregation back to the cross. Much of our modern church architecture has theater-like designs that create an expectation for entertainment. This focuses our attention back upon ourselves rather than on Christ. Ken in Orlando, Florida, thanks for the email.
Very well put, Ken. Good church architecture is like the liturgy. It not only can be like the liturgy, it is like the liturgy. And it is no coincidence whatsoever that churches that have abandoned one have abandoned the other. Those churches that have abandoned the historic liturgy, if they're still trying to pull it off, their praise bands and snappy tunes, inside a liturgical building, that is a building built for the liturgy, they very quickly find a way of tearing that building down or turning it into office spaces and building a new worship center that fits the way they worship. Now, those two things, the architecture and the way they worship, are only symptoms. They're symptoms of a shift in confession. When the confession changes, you can expect the mode of worship to change and the architecture to change, and both of those things scream the new confession. So ask yourself, what does this building, this church building, designed for the liturgy confess, and the liturgy that's practiced within it confess, as opposed to what that church building designed for entertainment and the entertainment-style worship that is practiced within it, what does it confess? And there you have your answer.
Quick one for the break, Mark in Godfrey, Illinois. This is written in regard to Pastor Todd's comment that whether you like your pastor is irrelevant. I think he is correct. I think that if people understand that God works through means, then whether they like the pastor will be irrelevant. I wonder if this is why there is such a cult of personality among American evangelicals. The pastor's personality matters because the people in the pew see their faith as dependent upon themselves. They see the church growth as dependent upon the pastor's personality rather than on what God is doing, writes Mark in Godfrey, Illinois.
Well, and it can be taken to a ridiculous extreme, and often is, that the pastor has to personify the church in some way. And his personality becomes not only important, it becomes key. And whether or not people who walk into your church like him, regardless of what he preaches or says or teaches or practices, whether or not they like him, find him affable, becomes all important. And then once that's been given highest priority, then all the other things like the teaching and the preaching and the practice all take a very distant second. And the pastor's personality, good looks, those of his wife as well, become the real important thing. And you're right, we call that the cult of personality.
Sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues, etc. 618-223-8382.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, etc. back, Scott Winter, Brad Kittleson, Becky Kiffner, Bridget and Martin Mueller, Nathan Pop, Barbara Bruning, Carmel Kittleson, Don Patterson, Craig Senzig, and Brian Harms. Thanks for your support.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Rush Limbaugh has too utopian a view of human individual goodness. Instead, as our founding fathers believed, businesses can be just as nasty as too big a government.
We may believe these same things, but in confessing them in a different mode or style of worship service, that's ultimately going to create a new confession.
All those editorial boards, you watch. As soon as the doctors start saying, well, we have to cut off this care, these very same liberal boards will say, doctors should be able to make this choice.
The president who said that there's no reason why science and morals can't go forward together has in fact turned his back on the morally acceptable and superior pathway to this research.
A little bit of the four sound bites we have for you this week when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 20 minutes here on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. When you play Soundbite of the Week, one thing you might want to bear in mind as you prepare to vote, we're giving away the LPR bundle package. That's our way of saying thank you to the best voter during Soundbite of the Week. It includes an Issues Etc. pen, travel mug, bumper sticker, and an I Have Issues t-shirt. It goes to the best voter during Soundbite of the Week this week. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, or you can vote by emailing us talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll have a soundbite from Dr. Mark Reynolds on Rush Limbaugh's Worldview, a soundbite from Pastor Mark Knuckles on people who say we believe the same thing, just express it differently. One from Wesley Smith on the editorial double standard on medical autonomy. And we'll round it off with a soundbite from Dr. Leon Cass on President Obama turning his back on ethical stem cell research. Get ready to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in 20 minutes. In the meantime, more email.
Joe from Maumee, Ohio writes, I can say, this is regarding to your interview with Dr. David Scare on Lutheranism and the Charismatic Movement. I can say from first encounters with charismatic people in my former congregation that it's all about experience versus doctrine. That is, my experience trumps your doctrine. This creates a two-tiered Christianity. The charismatics among us acted as if they had something the rest of us did not. Experiences such as being slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, personal revelations from God or the Holy Spirit, and a baptism of the Spirit. Furthermore, I would even go so far as to say that for many Lutheran charismatics, prayer becomes a means of grace. That's when God talks to me. Joe concludes, one danger of the charismatic movement is the assault on faith, resulting in a craving for heightened experience. Another is the very real danger of splitting a congregation, or that the charismatics leave the Lutheran Church for a more charismatic-friendly fellowship. I have seen both, writes Joe in Maumee, Ohio.
Joe, thank you very much. All those things are true. And look, I think it's very simply explained. What is this desire to downplay doctrine and play one's own personal experience up over against doctrine, teaching, and all the matters that Scripture brings to us? Well, it cannot be moved by the Spirit, can it? Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not teach us to disregard the teachings of Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never teach us to listen to the inner voice as opposed to the external voice of God's holy word. The Holy Spirit will never lead us into teachings that are outside of God's word. The Holy Spirit will never cause us in any way to let our experience, our feelings, gainsay what God's word says. So in all of these things, all of these characteristics of the charismatic movement, we can see beyond a shadow of doubt that it is not a move of the Holy Spirit. And if it's not a move of the Holy Spirit, it's the move of some other spirit. I mean, there's a spirit involved, but it's not the Holy Spirit.
Lots of email on our one-year anniversary of our firings back on March 18, 2008. Here's Paul in Baghdad, Iraq. He says, I listened to the podcast of the events of March 18th last year. I reflected back on where I was that fateful day. I was stationed at Fort Monroe, Virginia at the time. I did listen to the show live a few times, but mostly I was one of the uncounted on-demand listeners, at least according to KFUO AM. I usually downloaded the podcast the day after the broadcast, but the 18th was different. It was as if the podcast did not exist. I scoured the KFUO AM website for any information on Issues Etc., only to find the scripted message on your cancellation. I was very down for the next few days, as the show was and still is a theological lifeline for me. I wasn't sure what to do until a site called Wittenberg Media appeared and had archived podcasts. I downloaded as much as I could and listened to them. The first series I listened to was the 10-part series on the historic liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon. When the show was resurrected on the 30th of June, I had just arrived at my current duty station in Texas, downloading the podcast when I had internet access established. I was in total shock when you started to read all the names who signed the petition. Mine was announced that day, June 30th. I am glad and honored to be an on-demand listener of your show. Keep fighting this good fight. Lead the charge, gentlemen. Hoo-ah, writes Paul in Baghdad. I chose to read that just because I wanted to say hoo-ah.
All right, now I tell you, you got a little upset with me when I said let's send an LPR bundle package to someone in Kuwait, but I'm going to ask you, Jeff, to, as quick as you can, send an LPR bundle package to that on-demand listener. Those are the kind of listeners we need all over the world, and we're glad to be back for you. We do love our on-demand listeners. Can't say it enough. So is it Paul? Was it Paul who emailed us?
Paul in Baghdad.
All right, send him one.
Give us talkback at issuesetc.org. Paul, send us your mailing address, and we'll get you the LPR bundle package. Unless, of course, you want to call in and win Soundbite of the Week.
Right. I mean, if he wants to call in, although I imagine if he's in Baghdad, it would have to be a satellite phone.
Yeah, we probably have to give a direct number. I don't think 800 number would work from Baghdad, would it?
I have no idea.
I know it doesn't work. It doesn't work from Canada.
It doesn't?
No.
Well, that's Canada. Come on.
It's easy. Baghdad now. We got lots of listeners in Canada. We might have more listeners in Canada than we'd hear in the States. Let's take one more email on the cancellation of issues, etc. Ivan in Winter Haven, Florida. From a Calvinistic Presbyterian pastor, he writes, "Your sudden trial, your sudden turmoil of rejection and public firing during Holy Week brought you fear and anxiety that is certainly understandable. 1 year later, you have much more freedom to speak the truth of God's word. You are now actually more free to teach sound doctrine and refute false doctrine. And you are certainly more free to discuss with honesty the problems of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And what a blessing it is for we, your listeners. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Thanks for the email, Pastor Ivan in Winter Haven, Florida.
And thank you very much, Pastor, and for listening in Florida as well. Winter Haven, I love that name. I mean, it kind of says what Florida is really all about. It is one big winter haven for so many people who live down there. And it's true. God works all things together for good for those who love him, called according to his purpose. And I'll say it, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Even if it had not pleased the Lord to bring issues, etc., back in its present form, he still would have worked good out of its cancellation. He happened to work the good this way, and that's good. I'm glad for it. But even if he hadn't, he still would have worked the good.
Paul from Milwaukee, he says, about your informative and important broadcast on gospel reductionism, Pastor Wilkin asked Dr. Murray to discuss the relationship between gospel reductionism and the formal and material principles in Lutheran theology. Was the tie, if any, between the two made? If not, how does gospel reductionism compromise these two principles, if at all? I'm sure Dr. Murray didn't mention the principles by name. Paul in Milwaukee.
Okay, it's a great question, Paul. I can't remember Dr. Murray's answer, the extent of his answer, but I'll answer the question for you. Gospel reductionism is this teaching that the only thing that really matters in Scripture when you're interpreting it is the gospel itself. That is, the only thing that it becomes the interpretive principle for all things. Now, let's not go wrong here. Is Christ the sum and substance of all Scripture? Yes, he is. Is the gospel ultimately the message of Scripture? Yes. But Scripture contains law and gospel, and gospel reductionism is a misinterpretation of Scripture that allows the gospel to trump the law, or to allow major sections of Scripture, be historical, legal, whatever they may be, to be disregarded because they're not, quote-unquote, in keeping with the gospel. It's no way to read the Bible. It's not, in fact, even a gospel-centered way of reading the Bible. It's not a Christ-centered or cross-focused way of reading the Bible. Now, the question about the formal and the material principles, the formal principle of theology, that which informs our theology, is the Word of God, Holy Scripture. The material principle is the gospel. What gospel reductionism does is it does away with the formal principle and makes the gospel serve as both the formal and the material principle. And it simply cannot be done and retain Christian theology. In other words, the gospel is the message of Scripture, but the gospel does not trump what Scripture says. It cannot be used against Scripture, which is what gospel reductionism does. It uses the gospel against the Bible, which is not the way God intended for us to use the gospel. It's a great question, Paul. Thank you very much for listening up there. Well, when we come back from this break, we'll reveal our picks for Issues Etc. blog posts of the week, and then it's time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four sound bites for you to listen to and to vote for. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. You can email your votes to us as well. talkback@issuesetc.org. And then in hour two, we'll talk with Jennifer Roback Morse about a number of subjects, including privatizing marriage. And we'll conclude our worldview series with Ken Samples talking about Islam in about an hour here on Issues Etc. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for March is called The Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out all about this unique study Bible from a reformational perspective by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find the cover of The Lutheran Study Bible, or you can pre-order your copy of The Lutheran Study Bible, The Issues Etc. book of the month for March by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about the Lutheran Study Bible, the Issues Etc. book of the month for March. 1-800-325-3040. Issues Etc. blog of the week after this.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Parents in England are fighting against doctors to keep their 9-month-old son alive. The hospital staff wants to take him off the ventilator because they say it's hopeless and he's in pain. But the reality is, it's their pain they're worried about. They don't like the discomfort and cost involved in caring for this little guy. Their nationalized healthcare system decides who to spend money on. This situation is more likely to happen in America now. President Obama slipped a government bureaucracy into the so-called stimulus plan to be a gatekeeper which will guard against what they deem is futile and costly medical care. A situation similar to this little boy occurred in England a few years earlier when doctors said a premature baby was hopeless. The child is now 5 years old.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, and click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.